A very good morning to you. Good morning, Namibia. Good morning, my dear listener. It's the end of month. It's the end of March. It's the last day of the month of March. At last, we have come to the end of March. We see it. We say goodbye and we say welcome. Tomorrow already we say welcome to April. So a very good morning to you. I hope you have a beautiful morning this morning. It's a Tuesday morning in the beautiful land of the brave. So where are you listening from? Where are you listening us from? So you're welcome. And it's a pleasure always to have you, with us here on Eagle FM. So, and thank you, David, for handing over, the mic. To this side of the world. And my name is Mike Oshaveni, and this is Unpacking the Day. So we're just getting into the same rhythm from the early morning scoop. So this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business news, economic news, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise, to make sense of the big stories, the trends and the numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear here. We try to keep it clear and also, well, sometimes witty and always asking questions and curious asking questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying, out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying, spark a meaningful conversation for you, so you can be part of this big, you know, conversation. So this is your space, and it's your platform to unpack with me the headlines and also get to the heart of the stories that we are following. So a very good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, our time is 4 minutes past the hour of 8. And we welcome you. We welcome you. So wherever you are listening us from, could be inside of the country, or could be outside of the country. And you can only do that. You can only do that by definitely, you know, downloading the app, the Eagle FM app, would definitely make, you know, things much, much easier for you, if you have the app. Wherever you find yourself, you can listen to Eagle FM. You're not actually bound by border or by what? By nothing. So you're connected anywhere, anytime. So make sure that you download that. But you can also listen if you're in the office, you can also listen to us on the website. You can also listen to us on our website. You can listen to that on your computer. So don't feel that, well, now I'm out of my car, now I cannot continue listening. No. Just go to the website, Eagle FM website, and you can listen to us live as well then. So, all right, as usual, we go back into time, we go back into history and look at what happened on this day in Africa. And let me welcome you, wherever you are, in Africa. Good morning to you. Good afternoon. It could be also good evening. So wherever you are across this beautiful continent. So welcome to this segment on this day in Africa. And we have some few significant, happening that happened in the, on this day, on the 31st of March, across the years. Now let's go back to March the 31st. That's 1916. Now on this very day, history was made actually, and this was in the Catholic, you know, the Roman Catholic Church, a Tanzanian man, by the name of Laurien Lugambwa, was elevated now to the rank of cardinal in the Catholic, in the Roman Catholic Church. So when you are actually elevated to that rank of cardinal, cardinal is where now the Pope is being selected. You know, the next Pope is being selected in that rank of cardinal. So he became the very first black person, the very first black person actually in the entire history of the Roman Catholic Church to hold this position. So that is, and it was not just a win, you know, for Tanzania at that time. That was actually a win for the whole Africa, for black people all around the world. So, yeah, it was really, according to the story, I mean, to the history here, it was a big, big, significant elevation for the Bishop Laurien Rugambwa, all right, of Tanzania. So, and fast forward to 1961 in Ethiopia, one of our Africa's proudest and oldest nations, they saw Akililio Haptewo step into the role of its very first prime minister. So this was a massive moment for Ethiopia, a country that had already shown the world that Africa could govern itself and stand tall and lead with dignity. So it's one of the shining example over the years in Africa. And then in 1992, the world turned its attention to Libya. The United Nations Security Council voted to ban all flight and arms sales to that country, to Libya. Now, why? Because Libya refused to hand over the suspect connected to, you remember, the Lockerbie bombing. So a terrorist attack that shocked the whole world, that shocked the world back in 1988, killing about 270 people. So this was one of the toughest sanctions the UN had ever imposed. And it sent a clear message that the international community would not look the other way when it came to terrorism. Yeah, so this has been On This Day in Africa. So thank you for listening. And if you're just joining us, good morning to you and welcome. You are on board. Welcome. Get into the class. Let's moving. So today is Tuesday, the March 31st, the last day of the month. So what could be? What is our thought for the day today? So, quite simple. A person is a person because of other people. That's actually a philosophy of many of especially in Southern Africa and overall in Africa as well. So, but especially in Southern Africa, that is our philosophy of life. A person is a person because of other people. So, umuntu gumuntu gabantu. Umuntu gumuntu gabantu. A person is a person because of other people. So, well, in simple word, none of us make it alone. So we need one another. We need one another to grow. We need one another to learn. We need one another to survive. So, and to build a better life. So we need one another. So this proverb reminds us that dignity is not just about how we see ourselves, but also about how we treat the people around us. So today, let us choose, you know, let us choose kindness. Wherever you find yourself, let's choose kindness. Let's choose respect. Let's choose community. Because umuntu gumuntu gabantu. Okay? Because when we lift others, we also lift ourselves. So that's our thought for the day, this very morning. So good morning and welcome. So, okay. Welcome. And let me give you the outline. What are we expecting? What are we gonna what we're going to look at. What are we going to unpack this morning? So what are we going to unpack this morning? So now, yesterday there was a study that we couldn't look at, and maybe it's also worth looking at this morning, despite actually Namibia being a major fish exporter. We imported, last quarter of 2025, we imported 140 million in hake in the last quarter. So, which is actually a situation industry leaders blame on declining local quotas and higher costs. So we're going to go into that a little bit, just dig deep a little bit on that, unpack that a bit, just to see what is going on. Another story, interesting story, especially for those of you living in Windhoek. A senior city of Windhoek officials has stated that closing the capital's massive housing deficit, it will definitely require a tripling. Yeah, it will require tripling of its current budget. Now, its current budget need to triple to be able to actually achieve the housing crisis in Windhoek. And that's highlighting a critical need for increased government funding and multi-stakeholders collaboration in order to be able to achieve that. So we're going to also have a peep on that, a look at that, and also maybe a little bit unpack. If we have time, go into that as well, unpack that as well. So good morning and welcome, as you can see, and You will also come through. So you also come through, and we still apologize. It will take maybe some time before we get our studio line back. It's being repaired. I will gonna give you my personal number, and you can come through. I would also invite those maybe who don't want to come through, use a note, but you have to speak up a little bit, okay? A voice note. Which one comes first, note voice or voice note? Voice note. A voice note. If you want to say something later on after, we discuss that. So I would invite you as well to do that. So, all right. As I said, your participation, it's most welcome as well. So, as usual, because that's what make this program all about. Okay, we come back. When we come back, we get into our first story. Stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seisa nina omayaguro ni randito ma yoe, yonge shifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tu imemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konarahe tatu imu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. Good morning, and welcome back. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day. So I'm your host, Big Mike, and this morning we are going deep, deep into our Atlantic waters. Actually, because something it doesn't smell right. You know, it smells fishy. I'm talking about fish. It smells, it is smelling fishy. So now let me paint the picture for you. So quickly before we get into it. Okay. So that you, I always want to give you, because I don't want to like go to the stories and, you know, read the story for you. Just get a picture. You know, we know Namibia is a fishing nation. Okay. That's full stop. We are a fishing nation. Namibia is a fishing nation. So our fishing sector, I think our fishing sector is the third largest contributor to our GDP. The third largest contributor to our GDP. So bringing in over 15 billion Namibian dollars a year. Okay. That's significant. And it is the second biggest foreign currency earner after mining. Okay. I'm just giving you a picture to understand how crucial this sector is when we're going to discuss what we're going to discuss. I'm just giving, understand how important this sector is. All right. So just giving you some of those information. And about 90% of what we catch goes straight to export. 90% of what we catch, okay, goes to straight to export. 90%. Only 10% actually remain in the country. You can understand that. Where do we export? We export to Spain, to the DRC, to Japan, to China. So we export almost everywhere, okay? But mainly Spain, DRC, Japan, China, so, and others as well. Now, in terms of employment, we, in this sector, fishing sector, we employ over 18,000 people directly in this sector. Okay? And we have town-like Wabash Bay and Lüderitz. Those towns, basically, they breathe fish, you know? These are towns that they breathe fish. There was a time, and it has changed a little bit. There was a time, or maybe it depends on the time you go there. There was a time, sometime you go into Wabash Bay, and it smells fish. from afar, you can already smell the fish, you know? Yeah. Those are the town that breathe, definitely they breathe it. And the other thing is that hake alone. So because we're going to focus a little bit on hake, you know, hake alone account for 70% of the jobs in the sector. 70%. Hake alone account for 70% of the jobs in the sector. Now, so when I tell you that in the last 3 months, this is according now to National Statistics Agency. So in the last 3 months of 2025, Namibia imported fish worth nearly $140 million. If I tell you that has been the case, you must understand why we need actually to sit with this, you know, with this story, this morning. We need to sit with this one this morning, because you won't believe that, would you? So we are the fish producers, and then you're telling us we imported fish. All right. Now, here's the story, my friend. The Namibian Statistics Agency dropped its latest quarterly report this week. Last week. Okay. And the number, are eye-opening. So some of us, you know, maybe this is our job. Sometimes probably you read the article. You might have read the article in a daily newspaper, and you just, okay, $140 worth of money imported into, and you never really paid attention, scrutinizing what is going on here. Now, In the fourth quarter of 2025, we imported fish, mostly hake, now worth almost 140 million Namibian dollar. Now, that's a 40% jump. Now, when you compare from last year, so that's actually a 40% jump compared now to the same period the year before. So why is it important? Because you have also to learn this, you know. When there is a comparison, so it's not just a comparison in terms of, okay, last year, why do we normally people compare that? You have to see whether there is a pattern. And is that pattern, when you look at the pattern, do you see that actually that pattern is growing or actually decreasing, depending now whether it's growing, it's a growth that you want or it's a growth that you don't need. You know, that's very important to understand that are we going in the direction that we want or we actually going in a very wrong direction. So, and as we can see, that is a 40% jump now compared to the same period, a previous year, a year before. 40%. That is not the growth that you want. You know, why are we importing fish? Why are we importing hake? Okay? And where did this come from? Where are we importing it from? Okay? So where are we importing it? Half of that, what we're importing, of course, from our big brother, South Africa, we are importing from South Africa. And another 20% came from Spain. Now, of course, if I were you, which actually, you know, that's why probably one thing that made me get interested is that why are we importing fish, hake, for example, from country that we actually export the same fish. Yeah? The twist, most of that fish, yeah, and most of that fish that we are importing is actually hake. The very same hake. Yeah? Now, why are we importing that hake? And that very same hake is actually the same that swim in our waters. The very same hake we export to the world. Why are we importing it? You see the problem. So, now, the obvious question now is, how does a country that sit on one of the richest fishing ground in Southern Atlantic, we are sitting on one of the richest fishing ground in Southern Atlantic, end up actually buying its own signature, because that's our signature product. Hake is our signature product. Now we end up actually buying our own signature product from our neighbors or from the countries that actually we're selling. How come? I think that's a very explorative question, you know, or investigative question. Okay? Now, the industry has come forward to explain. Okay? And in fairness, their argument has certain logic to it, has certain logic to it. The head of the Merlus management, this one of the bigger, you know, the bigger player in the hake sector now, okay, in Namibia. This is one of the big player now in the hake sector. So it says that the problem comes down to quotas, okay? The problem comes down to quotas. The total allowable catch, the TAC, has been shrinking. So, and for those who don't, you know, maybe you don't follow the technical side, the TAC, the total allowance catch is basically the government saying, okay, this is how much fish you are allowed to pull out of the sea this year. Okay, that's what's referred to the total allowable catch. Okay, the government will give you that. They will just tell you that, okay, this year, this is how much fish you are allowed to catch out of the sea this year. And it's set based on, normally it's not just, you know, at random. Normally it's set based on scientific research into fish stock level. So they look at the fish stock levels and said, okay, this is how much yet you need to catch. Just to preserve the, just to have the, what is that? So that you don't deplete that stock. So that's why the government actually gave that total allowance catch for the year. Now, and here's the thing. So here's now the thing. Now, Namibia cut its hake TAC. So we cut our hake, total allowable catch by 9% going into 2025. Okay. Going into 2025, we cut, our hake TAC, the total allowable catch by 9%. Meanwhile, and this is interesting, you know, South Africa increased theirs by over 4%. So our neighbors is catching more and we are catching less. Okay, that's something interesting to, you know, to have at the back of your mind. Now, the factories in Walvis Bay, okay, let's get to that, to the point, okay? So the factories in Walvis Bay were built to process a certain volume of fish, okay? When they were built, they were actually built to process a certain volume of fish. Now, the industry is telling us that their capacity, the machine that they have, the workers that they employed, and then the coal, the coal storage that they have, all of that is bigger now. It's bigger than what the quotas allowed them to catch locally. So they are allowed to catch less quotas, and then what they are capable of doing than what the volume of their factories. You understand? So then their capacity. So they are actually catching less than their what capacity is able to do. They are what machine can do. They are what worker. They have more workers now. If you catch less, what would you, some of your workers would do? Of course, you're probably going to retrench them, or you're going to offload them. Eh? So that is now the biggest problem. And we're going to continue on that after this quickly.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, we are unpacking the story of Namibia importing actually hake worth of 140 million in the last quarters of 2025. And we're kind of looking at what are the problems, why, or maybe there are no problems, but there are problems. Okay, so now one of the things is that one of the issue here now, the people in the industry say the problem is actually the amount of the fish we are allowed to catch in the year, the TAC, the total allowable catch, you know, for that specific species of fish. Okay, so, and that now for Namibia, we say Namibia, there was a cut going into 2025. There was a cut on hake TAC, on the total allowable catch, by 9%. But then in South Africa, Just I bring it that in just for you to see how this is going in South Africa, which is also very interesting in that way. South Africa then increases their, you know, their allowable catch, total allowable catch, you know, by 4%. So it looks like our neighbor is catching more. That's where we buy later, and we are catching less. And why is that? The other thing then that you have to understand is that now the factories in Wavish Bay, you know, were built actually to process certain volume of fish. Okay. The number of fish that you process. Now the industry. So what they're saying now is that their capacity, you know, their machines, their workers, the storage, all of that is actually bigger than what the quotas allow them now to catch locally. Okay? So what do they do? So, and this is now the main thing now. What do they do? They import raw hake from South Africa. So because to compensate, what they couldn't, because they are allowed only to catch certain amount of fish, which then is not enough actually to process locally. Do you understand? So they have then to go and buy again. So what they do, they import the raw hake from South Africa and sometimes from South America, process it here, add value, and re-export it. So, and then what they're saying is that, so the much of these factories, what they're saying is that, well, this is actually we're doing that to keep, you know, keeping the lights on. Okay? They are doing it to keep the lights on. They are doing it to keep people employed. If they can't do that, they have to let some people go. And they are doing that to maintain their contract with European buyers. You know? So, and we have in the story, in the article, the Confederation of Namibian Fishing Association also echoes the same point. Their chairperson explained that the TAC, the total allowable catch, has gone down, but the workforce is still there. So that means the TAC has gone down, but you still have the same amount of people that normally should be working on the number of fish that you should catch, but you still have the same people. You know, nobody's actually being retrenched yet, which is a good thing. And then when you can see from these companies, you would say maybe they are trying their very best to keep the people. Now, they say, well, to avoid job losses, so they bring in raw material from outside, process it locally, and ship it out again. Now, so he even the union person, the Confederation of Namibia Fishing Association, the chairperson, he even make the point that fish labeled as coming from Spain might have actually been caught in Argentina, shipped to Wavish Bay for processing, and then sent back to Spain as a distributor. Now it become like Spain as a distribution hub for the rest of Europe, France, Italy, Germany, the Netherlands, you know? So in a way, we are processing hub, okay? A factory floor. That part I get, that very part I get, okay? But here's where now I want you, the listeners, to lean in, okay? This is where I want you now to lean in. Now, if our quotas are too small for our factories, okay? Remember what we said earlier. So if our quotas are too small for our factories, who built those factories? That big. So who built those factories that are big in the first place? It's us, isn't it? Now, the other thing is you also ask, who kept reducing the quotas, knowing how big is our factories? It's us, isn't it? Now, did nobody see this mismatch coming? Did nobody see this mismatch coming? You know, And that question, that's the first, now that's the first question. Okay. Now, think. I really want you to think. The question number two. This one is for, I think, for you at the dinner table. This, you know, when you are at dinner or someone having lunch. Okay. Now, if the headquarters prices are, as they say, as the industry insider themselves admit, that quite expensive, quite steep. Now, then who is benefiting from those higher prices? Because that money is going somewhere. Who is benefiting from that? Because we don't see that into our market. Someone somewhere is benefiting from it. Are the people of Wavish Bay or Ludred seeing it? Do we see it? Eh? Are the factory workers seeing it? Someone, the money is going somewhere. And here's my question number three for you. Okay? If we are importing raw fish, processing it, and exporting the finished product, what does that really mean now for the Namibian economy? When on the paper, when you listen to the story, the export number look great. It looked great. The NSA say the fish export reached 2.9 billion Namibian dollar in the same quarter. The export up from now 2.7 billion the year before, if you compare from the last year. So now export actually went up. So someone is making money, but at what cost? At what cost? So we think of this way. Look at this way. So we are actually spending 140 million to import raw material to keep an industry alive that should be fed by our own sea, by our own ocean, not a sea. It says a sea? What is the difference between a sea and ocean? Eh? So we are spending that 140 million now to import robot to keep an industry alive. Why can't we fed? You know, why can't we fed that industry with our own fish? Do you see the picture? Do you see the issue? Do you see the problem? Okay, let me put it in another way. Okay? Maybe then you'll be able to understand. Okay, really clearly. Imagine you own a bakery. Okay? You own a bakery. I'm speaking much of you and you are in Mintuko. So you're in Katutura. Okay? You own a bakery in Katutura. You grow wheat on your own plot. Wheat. I'm not said weed. There's a difference between wheat and weed. I'm not saying you are growing weed. All right? So you're growing wheat. I said a bakery, you know, not, okay? You don't grow weed when you have a bakery. You grow a wheat. Okay? So, all right. Now you grow, I hope it works, you know, you grow wheat on your plot now. But then the municipality tells you, okay, sorry, you can only harvest this much wheat this year. You see? You can only harvest this much wheat this year. So what do you do? So you go and buy flour now. So you have wheat. You have wheat that, you know, your municipality have told you only can grow this much. You can only harvest this much. So because you don't have enough, what do you do? So you go and buy flour now from the shop across the road. Okay? And then when you go there, you're actually buying at a higher price just to keep your baking bread, just to keep baking the bread. But you could have enough wheat for you to do that. Do you see the problem? Well, the thing is that the bread still sell. That's why you see the export actually went up. So the bread still sell, Yeah. But your profit margin is shrinking. Do you understand? Your profit margin is actually shrinking. And your neighbor, the one actually selling you flour, the flour, so he's laughing, you know, all the way to the bank. He is the one who's laughing all the way to the bank, not you. You make profit, but your margin is really shrinking. And that, my friend, is essentially what is happening in our fishing sector right now. Okay? I hope that's very clear. Now, there's another issue, okay, from those in the sector. And the Metal Mining and Maritime and Construction Union, the MMMC, has raised the alarm on corruption. Okay? Their Secretary General doesesn't beat around the bush. He says corruption is affecting how the industry operate and may be contributing to this very situation. They need to import hake. So if we, now, if you know what, and you know what, now, when he says that, you cannot actually hear it without thinking about the fish rot, you know, the scandal that rocked this nation in 2019. Leaked documents showing that fishing quotas, the right to pull fish out of our sea, were being traded for bribes. That was the case. It were being traded for bribes. So former ministers, business people, a whole web of corruption, you know, involving Icelandic company. People lost jobs. Community were devastated. You know, the court cases are still dragging on, some years later, still going on. Now, when you hear that, and you can still think that there are things that hasn't been sorted out properly. Eh? So when a union leader stands up today and says there's too much corruption in the fishing industry, that's not just talk, okay? That's a wound. Eh? Shirari Nashpola. That's a wound that hasn't not yet healed. So, and the union also raises a structural point that deserves really an attention. And we're going to look at that when we come back. So after this quickly.
Kapena we sharadi ngiri okui nyanyu za karisho mawadha na woko mvogo tsea kuku Easter Soccer Tournament moike ndanjono erondo. Tuwaimina anopoka fari kwa mawadha no kwa tsea kuku moshitopo rasha eheke district zetu nyanyu kilo nipamu. Chinasha nundunda wa mangeshe fero landesha radioe yomarandi thiro kondandu wa shiki ochimari wa chondora wa matiregeri gatano. Chinasha nuyeri na tangu wa wedo apo watathana na akapa kongozi honora wa heta tuwa imu eriari. One ombari eriari onano ondatu no hamano opo imu nene esha radioe mbara.
All right, welcome back. Now, we were talking about the union, something that they also raised, which is very, very, very important. And I don't know how far, you know, our government understand this, or what are the measures to prevent this. Now, the union raised a structural point that I think that's very important to look at. And he suggests that some companies, okay, have a direct international market. And what do? So that fish is being prepared on board vessels. So the fish are being prepared on board vessels and sold before it even reaches the local factories. So before they reach the local factories, you know, they prepared on board, these are prepared on board vessels. So in other words, the fish leave our water without value being added on, you know? And then those same very companies, according to them, so those same very companies turn around and import fish from elsewhere. So now they turn around and import now the fish from South Africa or from Spain to keep now their factory running. And think about that. So the fish that were actually, you know, prepared on board vessels and sold before it even reaches the local factory, you know, so that it doesn't add, it doesn't add value locally. Eh? It doesn't add value locally. So you lose, you know, there's not, you actually lost much of the value that you can get from this. And well, and it's not just fish. Eh? The union point out that even the tomatoes, the tomato used in our canning factories, you know, that we use that for canning our that we use in our canning in the factories, and the cans themselves are important. Can you imagine? We are importing the tomatoes. And the cans as well. We don't have actually company doing cans in here. So the question becomes, what part of our fishing industry is truly Namibian? Hmm? If that's the case, what part of our fishing industry is truly Namibian? Yeah. I can allow you to come through now. Let's look at also the other dimension quickly from the political side. You know, we had some, you know, there were some issues raised also by politicians, especially by the RDP, president. He's calling this straight up mismanagement. So he argues, and he has a point. And he has a point that basic economics says you satisfy your local demand first before you export. So that's a basic economics. You satisfy your local demand before you export. And we do it the other way around. We satisfy our foreign, you know, they satisfy their client first, their foreign client, before the local demand. And he's asking, how did we end up actually importing hake from the very countries we supply hake to? Eh? Legitimate question. Same question. An intelligent person should be able to ask that question. And he also pushes a controversial idea. And this has to do with seal killing. You know, when we killed, you don't really call it seal killing or something. You call it curling. You know when we did, what was the elephant, when we have to curl the elephant. Yeah. So he wants the Ministry of Fisheries, to reduce the seal population along our coast because, he argues, seals are eating our fish stock. And contributing to the lower TAC. The reasons why there are a lower TAC is because there are too many seals and they are eating the fish. Well, that's debate. That's a debate for another day, I think. Conversation versus, you know, that could be a conservation versus commercial fishing. So, and it's one that will, I think, not be settled on the show this morning. So, yeah, but that's something else. But it tells you how desperate the conversation has become. Eh? So yeah, and if you want now to come through, so please do so. My telephone number is 081. We still have no landline, so that's still being. It might take a little bit of while. But we're still sorting out that landline. So, but you can call me. You can call if you want to contribute. You can call at 081-854-8569. 081-854-8569. All right. Repeat that again. 081-854-8569. So, yeah. And if you want, you may also leave a voice note if you're loud enough as well. Okay. So now, maybe the question we need to ask now, how does this really, how this is important to us is, how does it affecting us as ordinary Namibian and Namibia and economically in terms of job and other things? How does that, you know, affecting us? So economically, I think we are in a paradox. Okay. If you understand what a paradox is, we are in a paradox. That means our fishing export are going up in value, but we are spending more and more to import the raw material that feeds those export. You see? And that gap is a vulnerability. It's a vulnerability. So if the global hake price drop, for example, and if South Africa decided, let's say, for example, South Africa decided to keep more of its fish for its own factory, because you remember that we go and buy it from South Africa now to keep the lights on for our own factories. So what happened? We are in trouble. We are absolutely in trouble because we are not feeding our factory with our own fish. We have to go and buy from South Africa or from Spain. You know? So in terms of job, that's another challenge. The industry say it's holding the line, you know? No retrenchment. Factory is still running. But for how long? Because you see what we have seen, this trajectory, it's going up. The quotas are shrinking. What I'm saying is the quotas are shrinking. And the import costs keep rising. Something has to give. At one point, something has to give. That's why when I said, when you compare years, you have to see that patterns. As the pattern we see here, the quotas keep shrinking and the import costs, you know, keep rising. Somewhere, somehow, something has to give. And it's usually the workers. Yeah. In the end, it is actually the workers that have, you know, feel this first, because someone has to be fired, not fired, but someone has to be retrenched. Yeah. And who are those? The people in? So the people in the processing lines, the truck drivers, the cold storage operators. If you don't have enough, you know, to do processing, to have actually now driving out all this. So, and sometimes it's all those women who pack the fillet. So these are the people that are at risk. And of course, overall, the food security. And this is something that we don't talk about enough. We really don't talk about now. That because with 90% of our fish going to export, how much affordable fish is actually reaching the plate of a family in your home, of the family in Katutura, of the family in Mondesa, in Kuisebmund, in Ondangwa? Marukanda, Ntangwa, or Elipian. Okay? I'm looking for Marukanda, Mondangwa. So, are we feeding Europe? Are we feeding Europe while our own people struggle to afford protein? We're struggling to afford protein here while we're feeding Europe. That's the case. That's how it is. So, And on governance, the situation scream for really a better oversight. When you read the stories, and it's in the daily newspapers, when you read the stories, it's screaming for a better oversight. And this is an issue that's a problem in Namibia. It's an issue which is actually a problem in our country. The Ministry of Fishery needs to answer some hard question, really. How are quotas being set? How are the quotas being set? And who benefits? Who is benefiting? What is being done about the gap between processing capacity and catch allocations that allow us now that we don't catch enough, so therefore we have to go and buy from South Africa again? What is the long-term plan if fish stock continue to decline? So, and that declining could be, it could be anything. It could be from overfishing. Well, it could be also from climate change, but it also, and also the seal that we're talking about, seal predation, you know? What is the plan? What is the plan? Eh? So, you're most welcome to come through. If you want to react to the story and to what we are unpacking this morning, telephone number, we're using my personal number. You can call at this number, 081-854-8569. All right. So if you want to react to what we're talking about. So maybe let me add one more layer for you, okay? Because this is not it's not happening in isolation. It's not something that is happening in isolation. Globally, the ground fish market is actually shifting as well. The Atlantic cod quotas have been slashed by 40%. Now, the Russia-Ukraine war has disrupted supply chains. So Russia fish that used to go to Europe is now being diverted to Asia. So that means European buyers are hungry for alternatives. And guess what's on the menu? Well, the Cape Hake. The Cape Hake, which is our hake. You understand? So the international demand for our product is actually, you know, it's actually growing. So, and we have that the marine, how do you call that company? MSC, you know, that company, MSC. So the marine, forgot the company, Marine Stewardship Council. Yeah. The Marine Stewardship Council, recertified Namibia's hake fishery, just in this January 2026, which means we still have the green light to access those premium European market. So the opportunity is there. So the opportunity for us is there. So, well, stay tuned. We're coming back after this.
Oh, I have a business idea, but I need help to get it started.
My dear, I have the perfect solution for you. Look no further than the Basecamp Business Incubator.
Basecamp Business Incubator? What's that?
The Basecamp Business Incubator is a startup incubator and innovation hub on a mission to educate, equip, and empower visionary entrepreneurs. Tune into the business and economic segment every Monday live on Eagle FM from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. to hear about the testimonies from the young entrepreneurs that have walked through the hallways of the base camp.
What the government objecting? Fish quotas. Would they sell it for higher bids? It doesn't give a good customer value, because remember one thing, that the DLC, it used to be fed by our own people who are having quotas or supplying.
Yeah.
But now, government did it, cutting the middlemen. Cutting the middlemen to directly give it to DRC.
Mm.
Which is a bad business idea. I don't know who come up with that thing. But remember one thing, that DRC, I mean, the people who used to having trucks, taking the fish to DRC, somewhere even shop, certain shop in DRC.
Yeah.
Now they have to be crossed because government is giving directly to DRC. But this is only people which is saying, no, guys, meet me halfway, create a job.
Yeah.
And now you are giving directly. You know what DRC they did? Once they, buy those quotas, there are people start even buying trucks, recruiting drivers, putting setting up shop where we, Namibia maybe used to sell, or you know, all those.
Yeah.
Now all those Namibia was employed even just and they have to come back home. The tiger driver also drive those, they have to be what? To lose their job.
So it's exactly the same. We have to buy from the people we actually export to, you know?
Yeah. Why it doesn't make sense? Why do you have to export it in the first place? If you know that you you don't have enough in stock. I know. And I'm telling you, it doesn't make a good interpretation.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. That's why it's making headlines, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, because if you look, why, in the first place, why we have to sell it to Spain? If we know that our industry, we need it also, we have to catering of our industry.
Yeah.
Because remember now, just imagine, and how much, they support even the specific how much we are buying from them. And because in Spain, I think they will be double.
Yeah, no, we export it cheaply because it's raw, and then now we import it more expensive, and then
right.
You know, as I said,
it's the same way we are doing with timbers.
Yeah,
which are come from Kavangon and we send them to China, then they will come and finish product like in the cupboards or chairs and you name it. Yeah. And they will buy it so expensive. No, man. This is a fish which you just need a cleanup.
It does, somehow. Yeah. We need to have some... The oversight, I think the issue that most of people talking about is the oversight. There aren't really oversight, someone who is monitoring how these things, enforcing the law. Yeah? Let's put it that way. Enforcing the policy, enforcing the law. Oversight is weak.
No, but I thought maybe we learned a hard time when the first of the scandal happened. I thought now they are easy to monitor what is going on in the sea. But if you continue this way, there's no time. I don't think we can just release those guys who are in jail. Because it doesn't make sense.
So the other thing is the people, the government people on the vessels are those inspectors. They are also bribable.
They've never been replaced. They've never been, just meeting a person who's been there for 10 years. That's why their house, they are living luxury, they're more than what, even the directors and the CEO.
Yeah.
But it's just what inspectors. That's why I'm saying, sometimes I just think there are job where you can put it as a permanent, there are job where you can just watch the temporary people.
Yeah.
Moving, shifting, you have worked there for 6 months. If you are happy with your 6 months, then we take you to another visa. So to be what? Exchange of what? But just imagine, this person is staying there in the water for more than even maybe 15 years.
Yeah, some for 15 to 20 years. You're happy.
Yeah, 20 years. That's waiting.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you become less and even sometimes you don't even care about your natural resource anymore because you know that you make it in life. Shorter than time, maybe like 6 months, you already reach. Because I'm telling you, my friend, this is about when it comes to inspectors, how many times we heard that
we know some of the people who have become big business people who have been like inspectors on vessels, you know?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And this is what is still happening, that's what I'm saying, the guy with his speech lot, I think maybe they just stopped on somebody's shoes. They're supposed to be out already because these things are still continuing.
Yeah.
The way I'm giving you an example that when we start with a JLC or object in quota, just made in the day with the way they are bidding, they said they are to the highest bidder. What if I'm a cousin of what to could it be? They want to tell me I cannot use this money to bid that quota. And it still woke up. You see, this is a problem I think Namibia we contradicting ourselves when we do laws and what this policy we are putting up.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't help at all. Remember now we have people who are standing the fishermen for the more than 15 years. And yet, we are not even thinking of them to give them a quota, straight to them.
But the thing is this, the issue here is like, our factories, the quotas that we're receiving now are less. That means it leaves certain people, even the people that are working, without jobs. And that's why they go to South Africa and buy a raw to come and process now here. You know?
Just imagine.
Yeah, but that's the problem. Yeah.
Why we only focusing on the foreign currency?
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying, in Namibia, we don't eat fish because fish are expensive.
Yeah, I'm talking about hake here. We don't see it. Sometimes you don't even see it in your shop anymore.
No, not at all. Yeah. I'm telling you, you can find, and I'm telling you, you can go around what we know here, just Masbangel and the angel fish.
Yeah.
And there's some more fish which are really, sometimes they need to throw it to the water. But the thing is also when you are talking about cooling, you know,
you will only see that in difference. Like when you go to places like, Groove Mall, well, you may find some hakes there.
if you want to buy, and then now actually, the story is making sense because now if you go to the, market, in Glenwendog.
Yeah.
You can find any fish. Then that is mean you think it's a Namibian product, but it's a South African. So, but remember, because those are South African.
Yeah. But if you come towards Katutura, you will never see those kind of fish.
Even in the fish consumption, where they say no, it's focusing on the local. You will not, even in Kangaroo Day, it's expensive. But I don't know how this Indian shop, how they are getting it. Because I'm telling you, if you go there, and your fish is very cheap.
Yeah.
Because it's less than 100. But you go to fish consumption. Sometimes even going for, just one fish, kangaroo is going even for 200 something.
Yeah.
You see? It's what I'm saying, we are focusing on too much colors. That's why we forget too much our priority. Sometimes I do think like, that's why, I was complaining when the Namibian, they get 30% giving the water away.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we're just focusing on money instead of saving people. And it's what is happening in the fish industry.
Yeah. In the way you're privatizing the service, you're privatizing public service.
It's a natural resource which is supposed to everybody, to cater for everybody.
Yeah.
But now, what is happening in the fish industry, my friend, is individuals, family, and their friends.
Yeah.
And this is what is happening there now. I'm telling you, our fish, our even kids in the school, they're never there to eat decent fish.
Umlemba who used to say, well, I'm not going to do. Why should we actually do the aquaculture? Why we have plenty of fish in the sea?
it doesn't make sense.
But we don't do that
if we are, even if we, other countries who are not having a sea, they are not doing it so much the way we want to do it.
The reason why we do aquaculture is because those fish are not ours. They go to Hatikoven, you know.
Something needs to be done in that industry.
Yeah.
We cannot just do things with the way we used to do it in the 90s. Come on, guys. We're supposed to have a better play. I mean, like now we can even use technology. How those guys are getting their quotas, we know how much it's worth it. How many tonners they catch. All those things are supposed to be done on the place already. Because I'm telling you, our fish can take this candle alone. Okay.
Yeah.
Without adding even those mine and whatever oil which they are talking about. But the problem is they lie here that, no, we never get even our priority on track because everybody's just focusing on the currency.
But you see, the misleading information sometimes is like when we export. Let's say, for example, we said, You know, we export fish worth of 1. Whatever billion.
Now
you're thinking, oh, that's a lot of money for us, isn't it? But no, that's not ours. That's not money's all. You know, it's who own the vessels. Most of those are foreign companies, and you know. Yeah, recorded to our GDP, you know, but it's not something that is in your,
end up in our hands.
It's not in your hands. It's not in your, it's not something you only get your revenue. I mean, your tax revenues and royalties and all that, but you know, and that's not much.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think if our government is serious, they care about the Namibian. It's a hard time to look in that fish sector.
Yeah.
To put it, even make a triple policy where they are saying, no, if we give you a quota, we want you to employ Namibian, and this is what you are going to pay them according to. And
I think the thing is this, just to say.
When they come to even to what they say, what come on, social, I forget the name, man, but it's just to give it back. Sometimes you don't need to give it back. There must be a percentage which you are required to give. Because we know how much fees you are worth.
But how long? The question is, when we're talking about now this export, as you said, these are owned by the foreign companies. How long it's gonna take us to own our own vessels completely, that it's our vessels that are fishing in our water? How long that's gonna take us without really having now the foreign vessels actually are the one that are fishing in our water? How long? You know?
Mike, you know, Mike, me, I thought, when we are, the way we do things in life, individually, sometimes it's what we apply when it comes to country. Remember when we are having Air Namibia?
Yeah.
I thought those airplanes which we are flying with, we are having it on what? On installment.
Yeah, we are leasing. We are leasing them. Yeah.
I thought we are paying it off. To be ours.
You think it's your own?
Yeah, I thought it was our own. Then later on, when we found out that when they're crossing, this is where the people say, no, this airplane, they have to go to the owner. How on earth you do that?
Yeah.
Just imagine, Mike, I'm having a brand new car here, but I'm just driving it until a certain time, maybe the owner, when he started, like, you know, I feel like I must have my car. But yeah. I'm still paying.
You know?
It doesn't make it. It's what you know, at the end of Namibia, there are some people who are supposed to be locked it up already. If you are talking about accountability.
Yeah.
Because you cannot do that. In life, it doesn't work like that. No, if, like, remember one thing. No, you cannot. Just imagine Namibia, Ben operating.
Yeah.
But we are using a bus which is not ours.
Yeah, let's see if there are some others that might come through. Yeah. Mm.
Just to conclusion. Yeah. This is supposed to be happening also with you when it comes to quota.
Yeah.
Fish quota. My friend, to own, just own your own vessel. If Tanzania can have a lot of, I'm telling you, Tanganyika is the one who are driving our things from all over.
Yeah.
But ours, our people, some of them, they've been having for those fish quotas more than 20 years. Mm. But they never have a visa. They are just selling it. And they are still going to get it again. No, man. It's that time, my friend, I think things need to be done the way it's supposed to be.
They need to turn around. It definitely.
Yeah. Serious. We need to turn around it.
All right.
Thank you, Mike. Let me give other people a chance.
Great, man. Thanks for coming through.
All right.
All right, you're most welcome to come through, but then you will be, so use this line, use this telephone number, 081-854-8569, 0800-567-8569. So, and as I said, make sure once you, you know, those my, it's my personal number. And once you're done, you know, delete it, please. Okay. Make sure that you, you delete it, please. Okay. I have an experience of people calling at 1 o'clock in the morning and said, ah, the topic man that you were talking, that guy. My friend, do you know what time it is? Yeah, call tomorrow at 8 o'clock, okay? Yeah. All right. Yeah, just to wrap up on this, Namibia imported nearly $140 million in hake in 3 months, and that is 40% increase for a fishing nation. That is, I think that's a red flag for a fishing nation like Namibia. And the industry blames declining quota and higher cost. So there's, and there's a truth in that when you follow that. But the question is whether the quota system itself is working for people or for selected, as maybe Bandume put it, as for selected few, for only some elite and foreign companies. Now, the corruption remain the shadow, remain actually the shadow over this sector. You know, listen to that. You know, the Kwanyama just came out. The shadow over this sector. Yeah. So, yeah, and fish rot did not just happen, you know, and disappear. It just didn't happen and disappear. The structural problem it exposes are still with us. Those structural problems are still with us. And, yeah, workers are safe for now, okay? Those are safe for now. But the model of importing raw material to keep factories, you know, running, that is actually fragile. That is actually fragile. One shock, the price drop, policy change in South Africa, for example, because that's where we're importing more, and those jobs are on the line. So then they are on the line. So we need a national conversation, you know, about who our ocean belongs to. No, seriously. Sometimes some people don't like to hear this. We need a national conversation about who our ocean belongs to and who it serves. Who it belongs to and who it serves. 90% of our fish leave this country. 90%. All right. Do you say completely say that there's no market in Namibia? There's no demand in Namibia? Would you say completely that there isn't the case? That can't be the whole story, man. That can't be the whole story. So, yeah, Namibia has the fish. Namibia has the factories. Namibia has the workers. But somewhere between the ocean and the dinner plate, something is going wrong. All right? So something is actually going wrong. And until we fix it, we keep buying our own fish from somebody else, you know, from somebody else's boat. So that's the case. So, yeah. We will keep buying our own fish from someone's, you know, from someone's boat, from someone else's boat. Yeah, what do you think? Okay, what is your take? Okay, the number that you can call, 081-854-8569. 081-854-8569. All right. So if you want to get to react to this topic, all right, or to this discussion we have. So yeah, when we come back, we get into the another stories that we have for you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. And this is Eagle FM, the eye. And welcome back to Unpacking the Day. If you're just joining us, our time is about 25 minutes past the hour of 9. We still have a couple of minutes. We still have a couple of minutes for you to come through and engage and contribute. But let's move on. Let's move on. This is equally interesting story that we can look at. And it's Windhoek housing crisis. This is stories of our life, isn't it? It's a story of our life. So the situation for most people in Windhoek, you know, for most people coming to Windhoek, it's like this, you know. You know, imagine you're a young person or a family or something, you know, from, let's say, for example, you come from anywhere outside of Windhoek, north, Kavango, Zambezi, or whatever, wherever. And you heard the stories about Windhoek, you know, the jobs, the opportunities, the promise of a better life. You know, it's all in Windhoek. So you pack up everything, you pack up everything you own, and you arrive in the capital. Yeah, I am in the capital, and the reality hit. You know, that's what happened to most of the people. The reality hit. There is nowhere affordable to live. Maybe you don't know anybody there. Yeah, you have few, you know, money that you are given. And if we're talking in terms of houses, you know, there are thousands and thousands of people still waiting on the list. And you are coming in now. The cheapest plot you can, you know, the cheapest plot the plots are out of your reach. Hmm? Many of you in Windhoek, many plots are available wherever they're out, completely out of your reach, whether it's in Katutura or in Commerce or anywhere else. Absolutely out of your reach. You know, in terms, because it's extremely, extremely expensive. So you do what tens of thousands, of Namibians have done before you. What do? You find a piece of land on the edge of the city, and you build a shack. And that is the story of 213,000 people in the city right now. Okay? And at this point in time, so we are going to find out why it's getting worse. Not better. Why it's getting worse and not better. All right? So a senior official from the city of Windhoek has come out and said something that I think we should be really paying attention. I think we should be really paying attention to. As I said, many times when we read stories, when we read articles, when we look at the paper, we brush through. We don't really get a time to analyze what is going on. And that's why you have this program. Don't miss it. Okay. Because that's where we bring out things that you don't even thought about. All right. So stories behind the story, behind the headlines. So now he says the city needs 1 billion Namibian dollar every year. So if the senior official tells you in a city of Windhoek tells you that we actually need $1 billion every year for the next 4 years just to begin closing a housing backlog of 60,000 units. 60,000 homes. When you hear that, what do you think? And you are sitting, and you are sitting in, and you are somewhere in the at the set at this informal settlement somewhere. Now here we hear you hear that. I'm going to tell you the budget. Then you can start crying. It means forget about it. Okay. So those are, I love numbers because the numbers don't lie. Numbers don't lie. So you may lie to people. You know, you may come and talk about, hey, you know, we're going to do this and do this for you. And you kind of like, you know, do you know what's your budget a year that you have? It's 53. Okay. We're going to come back after this.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epetlaweza ko ombu nikiri ombe ombi hukusha. Onjiviro yoye irire ombupu o hakane na wina ikare no masa kumurungu wa indu. Walire ongere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwa imba. Una ovyu media peke kwa ondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe. Toho, pika ovinki nukukara norupa ondando ya peke yukianja oshimariva. Owa peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva. Owa peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva. Owa peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Kumyeze umurongo na vivari moshimariva. Ito alorela ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyano kife. Ashiesho imba yekupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye uha kainina itako na wina rishangita jinon.
Yeah. Just a naughty thought comes into my head to explain what I'm saying, you know, when it comes to sometimes I'm talking about now, we talk about house, the housing backlog. It just in city of Windhoek itself, you know, it's 60,000 unit. 60,000 unit. Now, do you know what the in NDP6, the houses that we built before 2030? It's 50,000 unit, you know? So that in Windhoek itself, and also this is now before, you know, for city of Windhoek before 2030. So the housing need in Windhoek is actually more. Even if you build, let's say, for example, you did 50,000. That's not even enough for Windhoek. Do you understand? And one thing is that when you're looking at that, they're saying that, okay, we need a Namibian dollar to close actually the housing backlog. Now, it's like this, and then I can come to you. So that will come. We'll come and, you know, 2029 will come and tell you still some stories. It's like a guy, you know, maybe I'm promising a woman. I'm proposing to a woman. I don't even have a car myself, but I'm kind of say, I will give you a car. You know, I'll buy a car, but I'm underfooting a moose, but I'm promising you that. So you're kind of looking realistically. You can't even, you know, you can't even afford a car for yourself. How are you going to buy this for me? Realistically, so there are certain evidence that tells you whatever you're telling me, you know, think twice, man. Now, before we dive into the numbers, okay? As I said, the number don't lie. Let me give you some, some kind of context, yeah? Some context so we are all on the same page, okay? So if you want to come through, maybe you wanted to react to the study that we had before and you're kind of confused. I'm trying to call you on your landline. You're not picking up or it's not working. It's not working. Please do contact me. Call me on my personal number, 081-854-8569. Okay. 081-854-8569. All right. So if you want to come through. So now, Windhoek is the only Namibia's metropolitan city, if you want. I think it's the only metropolitan city we have in Namibia. Wavish-Bish not. Or Swakopmund is not. So it is the economic heart of the country. So it's the economic heart of the country. The banks are there. The government ministries are there. The big companies are there. So because of that, so people from all other 13 regions have been streaming now into the capital for many years, looking for work, looking for better school for their children, and looking for, well, looking for a slice of the urban tree, of the urban dream. So where do you can get that rather than in Windhoek? So, but here's the problem. Okay. Here's the problem. Windhoek was never built. I think one thing that we need to understand is that Windhoek was never built to hold this many people. It was never built to hold this many people. So the city population is now growing at the 3.1% every single year. Every single year. So, I mean, that might not sound like it's a lot on paper when you hear that, but think about this way, okay? At that rate, the population of Windhoek will double in just 20 years. You know, in just 21 years, the population that we have now, it will be double. It will double. In 2 decades. So we could have actually twice as many people living here, living in Windhoek, you know, as you do now. And the informal settlement, okay? And the informal settlement, those are growing at 6.1% per year. 6.1% per year. Roughly double the rate of the city as a whole. Yeah. So right now, Windhoek is a home to 150 informal settlement. And that is out of 419th countrywide. So our capital alone account for more than a third of all informal settlements in the entire nation. So those settlements hold over 213,000 people, as I said earlier at the beginning. So that is more than the entire population of some of our regional capitals. You know, it is a city. It's more like a city within a city. Eh? And it's growing. It's growing faster than any other, you know, than anyone can imagine. And I don't think the city has a plan. So, now, let's get into the numbers, okay? Because this is where now the story actually gets a little bit, you know, more interesting, okay? And frankly, it's quite alarming as well, you know? Now, the city of Windhoek say it needs $1 billion per year to service the land and build houses at a pace that would allow it actually to catch up with the backlog by the year 2030. All right? $1 billion every year for 4 years. Now, how much did the city actually receive for this financial year? How much? Now, you have to hold on your chair. You have to hold on to your chair, you know. So the Ministry of Urban and Rural Development gave the city $53 million. $53 million for this year budget. That's it. $53 million out of $1 billion now. So this is now $1 billion that they need to be able to service the land and be able to, you know, build houses. Now, when we're talking now at the pace that would allow it actually to catch up with the backlog. So, otherwise, stop making any promises. Stop. Here's the reality. And the city council itself added a little over 200 million from its own coffer. You know, and bringing the grant now total to $290 million. 290. Okay. So if you look at this, how much is required annually? They require a $1 billion, You know, the ministry allocate to the city is 53 million. And then a city council contribution at 200 plus. So the total available budget, you know, so the total available budget is 290 million. So if you look at the funding shortfall, now think of the funding shortfall, you managed the other one, is 710. 710. That's the funding shortfall. Why are you going to get that money? Eh? And the cost of servicing land, the cost of servicing land is 900 million. So, and if you look at now the total, if you look, and this is just Windhoek, if you look at the total needed to close the backlog, is 7 billion. Look at those numbers. So, and you look at the ministry now, look at the ministry budget for 2025-2026, it's 2.7 billion. 2.7 billion. And next year, the ministry budget is 1.9 billion. So what it means, it's the budget is actually shrinking. So, now, if you're looking at from the ministry side, the national housing budget has actually been cut. Last year, the ministry had 2.7 billion Namibian dollar to work with. This coming financial year, 1.9 billion. So it has been cut. So, and that is the reduction of nearly 30%. So in our country where now the housing need is growing by the day, and the national budget for housing is. So the other thing, the housing, you know, the housing is growing, the housing need is growing by the day, and the national budget is shrinking every financial year. It's shrinking. So, all right, you're welcome. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm begging for second topic. But even if you think the number made the people are not getting Setuan today. I forget.
Because
you don't have the problem. You don't have a problem today. The problem is that when you look at our country, the way we are growing up with all the sectors, that nothing is moving. Yeah. And I like the way Honorable Sangwasa.
Yeah.
The man of the moment. He's saying, you know what? It's better for you as a CEO of what? Councillor? Or you are learning a municipality as a local authority or something. To start, do it just piece by piece. And this is how people do it in life anyway.
Yeah.
You never just, we all start as a baby. Then you grow, then they lay down, you start walking, then lay down, you are even having your mindset, you know, this is what, this is what. In psychology, we are going to psychology now.
Yeah.
You are even, you know yourself that this, if you're stepping in this, is danger. But now, as a country, we just want to be what? We already want to just be like Dubai of Africa.
Mm.
But things don't work like that way at all. You always have to start from the bottom. That's why today, when we are looking at ourselves, we don't have any billionaire in Namibia. It's because we are trying to shift ourselves alone. Then we are leaving the huge number, the other side of the river.
Yeah.
In life, it doesn't work like that. We need, what time we have money, my friend, you're going to need me tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Me, which I don't have.
I mean, yeah. A rich man cannot live around. You cannot live happily in a poor community.
Yeah.
You are the only rich man in a poor community. Itonangara no me shafi fikinaga.
That's why you have been mentioning in the Mumbai war.
There's a commercial coming up quickly. Just hold on a few minutes. Yeah, a few seconds, yeah.
Wahara kukutho mbinga, mesindana joshimara kuzapo mawabi umiongo hetatu wukapo mbanda. Shandika ano ngundoe yetanga, mama tigathana wotza ya kuku Easter Tournament, kuro taikakara kumu masiku wa tatu, sibu wakamano wapiri umpogo tungu. Poka pareke tanga, wotza ya kuku Meheke District. Umaudhano kwa unjuka, adhana yate yikuwa opo ya kareli kwa piyo umvura umiongo ndatu na tanu, monota avuro kusindana ushimurashu mawabi umiongo hamano na ntano kwa umuma. Changitano ngundiwe nina, kia ovilime, no matirigane, no milongo ntano hadike tuti. Kwa ambonoe na omvula o milongo ndatu na hamano shuka pombanda, otabu kusa ombinga, mo Legends category kako kere, monoto sindana shumarwa o maovi o mlongo na kakheali, no matirigatano kwa umuma. Changitano ngundiwe, no matirigatano, kia ovi alike tuti. Ukadonu uonjuka. Saya kuku anuwa Easter Tournament, na nene mpatira konje, changitano ngundiwe, no matirigatano, no dara o matirigatano alike tuti. Kama uyele kagwe dwako, dengela nakapa, kuna wano kipa tunoimwe, oimenone, ombariyari, ontano, nanda tunohamano, nenge kudasuva, kuna wano kipa tunoimwe, ukeyari nondatu, datu ukeyari, ongoi, nondatu yari.
Hello? Oh, he's gone. All right, okay, yeah, he's gone, yeah. All right. Oh, he's back. Yeah, so... Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, my girl.
Yeah.
You know what is a place like a Windhoek, yeah? Municipality, what they're supposed to do?
Yeah.
Because I know they cannot afford anymore. Because the big rock is doom, the people of, there are a lot. They cannot take catering them all.
What
I think, as just a suggestion, I think what they need is just to give title deed of the people. Because a lot of people who are, some people who are working, my friend, able to afford the house. Remember, we have defense and police. We have also teacher. They also now in the Kabashu.
Yeah, you know what? In the other countries, maybe that's something that we actually need to think up, because in Namibia we tend to think that when you have your, which is also good, when you have your own house, with a yard and all that, you know, freestanding house, that's only the best, you know, the best life. But when you go to other country, whether you go to Nairobi, Lagos, I have been in Nairobi, I've been in Lagos, I have been, even in Europe, there has been many, maybe there's a way now we need to actually to look at building apartment, you know?
Exactly.
You know, building apartment. Because we won't be able now to build houses anymore in terms of space as well.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah, exactly.
So instead of going out, we should actually going up, you know, start building up. Whether you go in Europe, many people in Europe don't have actually houses. They have apartment.
The apartment, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we need to start to think in terms of that. Because we won't really be able really to afford building houses for as many as people as we have, seriously.
Mike, what you are saying is true. Because a lot of you, let me say now, the people who are working, especially the young one,
yeah,
they prefer to live in apartments. That's why they are in flats. They are living in flats.
Yeah.
Because remember, if Mike, me and you, we are lending, and we know each other, we all come from the one community, I mean, in the north, in one village, we can lend a house, even in Ellos or Glenwindow.
Yeah.
Instead of paying our apartment the 15,000, a house is more than even like what, if we put together that money.
Yeah, I mean, you can see now.
In Windhoek, people I prefer to live in their comfortable apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah. If just imagine, every time I'm saying that, that's why me, I don't understand the municipality of Windhoek. How can you not have a council flat? You are giving a flat, I mean, a land to property developer who are putting up flat, making a lot of money.
Yeah.
But you are the one who is saving that land with your own cost.
Yeah.
And now, you as a beneficiary to get a benefit is only what water and electricity. Doesn't make sense.
Just imagine if you put up this apartment, you know, all over where, you know, nicely designed, you know, very for nice, families, yeah. And you know, you don't need that people. I have been
and
in
even cheaper one.
Yeah.
Comparing it to the private.
You know, I have been in areas, whether it's in Europe, where the whole suburb. You know, you just have those kind of apartment, you know, and you can do that. I don't know why we so obsessed with housing in terms of house, having a freestanding house, you know.
Mike, not a lot of people are even looking for a house. Just imagine if you are here for contract for more than what?
Yeah.
2 years in window, then you know that you are going after 2 years, you are going back to your work.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe in Walls Bay.
And someone comes in.
You don't really need the house.
Yeah.
But if it's the apartment for council flat day,
yeah.
My friend, it's your first option.
Mm. You have friend, a two bedroom.
Instead of going to lend him to Mike backyard, you see? It's what I'm saying. Really, I don't understand, man. Municipality of Windhoek, they're supposed to be one of the what?
Yeah.
Most admiring everybody want to work it. Because they are even having a good salary when it comes to their embrace. But the problem is that the comfort of living even. For even their own embrace.
Yeah.
Some of them, they don't have even a housing. They are living in cabbages. But they are the people who can afford. But the problem is that they are looking for what? To build their people house. I think if they give a title deed to the people,
yeah.
I'm telling you, people, they are able to build their house. As long as they give them the condition that the house must be look like this.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I'm telling you, people, they will be able to do the in their own.
Yeah. No, they would be. They would be.
Yeah.
Able to.
Yeah. And they can even give them a condition that after, maybe if you didn't build it for 5 years, they will give that element to somebody else.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, Mike, yeah.
All right, man.
Show me, boss.
We should understand people today. It's a different day, you know. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man.
Sure, yeah. Okay, my boss.
Sure. Yeah. So, yeah, the telephone number. I mean, you can be able to react on the stories that we are covering this morning. 081-854-8569. Okay. 081-854-8569. All right. So, yeah, now I want us to step back from the numbers for now and think about what this actually looks like in really life. Sometimes because numbers, as much as they are powerful as they are, you know, can sometimes make us forget that there are real people behind every statistics, you know? So when we say 67,000 informal household in Windhoek, we are talking about families. Sometimes those, as I said, statistics, numbers can just mislead. We're talking about mothers and fathers. We're talking about children going to school, grandparents living with their grandchildren. So people who wake up every single day without running water in their homes. These are people we're talking about, without proper sanitation. without electricity in many cases. So we're talking about human beings who are living in the in condition that most of us wouldn't find unacceptable. Yet they endure it. They endure it because they have no other choice. So they have no other choice. And the painful truth is this. The city's own data tell us these informal settlements are not shrinking. They are not now that slowly, they are getting slowly and slowly, you know, we kind of like reducing that. They are not shrinking. So they are expanding in actual fact at the rate of 6.1% per year. And the sections are going up faster. Actually, the thing is that the sheikhs are actually going up faster than the houses. You know? Every time the city managed to build one former house, two or three new sheikhs are going up somewhere on the outskirts. You know? So it's like, think of that. It's like trying to bail water out of a boat with a hole in the bottom. You know, you are bailing, but the water is coming in faster than you can scoop it out. You understand? So you lose the battle. You lose the battle, exactly. So now I want to ask you a question. I want you to really think about it. You know, if you were now a young person graduating from university or vocational school this year, and you got a job in Windhoek, which is where, and which is where most of the jobs are, by the way, you know? So where would you be? Where would you live? That has become really a big problem. Could you afford a house? You can't. Could you even afford to rent a decent room? It becomes even impossible. For many young Namibians, the answer is no. No. And so the circle continues, my friend. The cycle continues. More people arrive, more sheikhs got up, and the backlog grows. Simple as that. Simple mathematics. Someone used to say that. That's the simple mathematics. Yeah? So maybe how did we get there? How did Windhoek actually end up with 60,000 houses behind schedule? How did we end up behind schedule with that 60,000? Well, the answer is, it's not simple, really. I think the answer is not simple. But let me break it down into what I see as the three main drivers of this crisis. Okay? And we have spoken about this quite a lot. One is urban migration. Urban migration. The first and the biggest factor is urban migration. People are moving to Windhoek from every corner of Namibia. They are coming for the rural area. They are coming from rural area, from small town, from the regions where economic opportunities are limited. So, Windhoek is the only real city in Namibia with of course diversified economies. So, if you want a decent job in banking, in retail, in construction, in government administration, chances are you need to be in Windhoek. Works are in Windhoek. So the city own officials have acknowledged that housing demand is primarily being driven by this internal migration. It's a national issue. That's a national issue, but it's actually it's playing out on Windhoek's doorstep. It's a national issue and it's playing out on Windhoek's doorstep. Everybody want to be at the capital. I think the other factor is the funding, and we have heard that already, the funding and the budget constraint, or rather lack of it. So let's put that right. It's rather the lack of funding. You know, the city of Windhoek does not receive a dedicated budget from the national government for housing. Unlike when you look at some other African municipality that get direct guarantee funding from their national treasuries, Windhoek only receive money for a specific national project. That means the city is constantly scrambling, you know, piecing together funds for from different sources, hoping it will be enough. And as we saw in the numbers, you know, it's not nearly enough. Absolutely not nearly enough. And the cost of just serving the land, the cost of just servicing the land, putting in roads, water, sewage, electricity connection, is estimated at $900 million. That's before a single break. I mean, a single brick is laid for a house. Before a single foundation is dug, $900 million. So when you hear this and when you look at this, you're kind of like, this is not going to happen. All right. And the rate at which, at the growth of a migrant and also the shacks that we talked about, it's, I don't know. I don't even want to say it. So the last one, the third factor is actually is structural. The government has set itself a target of building 50,000 houses nationwide by 2030. That is 10,000 houses per year across the entire country. But here's the thing. Windhoek alone needs 60,000. You know? So even if the government meets its national target perfectly, let's say perfectly, which won't be the case, it will still not be enough to cover just one city. You know? So there's a fundamental mismatch between the scale of the problem and the ambition of the policy. When we're talking at now at NDP6, there is a mismatch completely. Maybe somebody didn't look at the number, you know, or just look at, oh, what would make us people more excited? What would make people more excited? So, and as I said, you know, to be honest, land servicing in Namibia is so slow. Land servicing in Namibia is slow. Bureaucratic process drag on for years. Approval takes times. There are people who are on the waiting list for how long? 20 years. Environmental assessment take time. Town planning takes time. By the time actually a piece of land is finally ready for people to move in, the population has already grown beyond what was originally planned for. You know, that's the problem. Eh? We're always playing catch up. Yeah, well, let's bring us to the end of our episode of Unpacking the Day. So I'm gonna leave you in the capable hand of Kamati Koka Pofi Mbarangaja. Coming up now, I'm gonna handing over to him now. From Windhoek, we're moving to Windhoek. Make sure that you join France, coming up with Kufa Mosha. And then, enjoy your payday. Enjoy your payday. take care. So don't overdo it. Yeah, from Mike, from myself, I wish you a very good day ahead. So I'll leave you in the hands of France. Goodbye for now.